Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, November the 23rd, the Friday after Thanksgiving. I certainly hope you had a good one. We certainly did. And now we're back on the saddle, as they say. We're back talking about all these important issues in our country today. We'll be talking about the Trump judges, little controversy here, the Trump versus President Trump versus the Chief Justice. Very interesting controversy. It's not the first time it's happened in American history, but it is an interesting controversy, and I've got some thoughts on that. There is also El Chapo. El Chapo is on trial in New York. Of course, El Chapo, the big drug leader who was captured a year or so ago by the Mexican government. I'm sure you remember the story. He escaped a couple of times, but he's now sitting in a jail in New York, and he's in a trial. They're having a trial for him. And there's some interesting information coming out, which I guess basically tells me that he's not going down without implicating a few other people. But I want to begin. I want to begin by catching up with this amazing story about the caravan. I have a post coming out Saturday morning about this. I think that Mexico has really dropped the ball here. And Mexico has created, this is a self-inflicted wound on Mexico's part. And now they have a big problem with this caravan. At the moment, a part of the caravan, a portion of the caravan, is apparently in Tijuana, Mexico, which is across the border from San Diego. And the problem is that the local government, the mayor of Tijuana, the citizens of Tijuana, they don't want to deal with this caravan. They're saying, why are these people here? You know, and on top of that, they're very angry with the Mexican central government because the Mexican central government has apparently not done anything about this. It certainly has not been tough with these illegal immigrants as they historically have been. You know, Mexico has always been very tough on illegal immigration. This is a tradition that they have. They, you know, they feel like, hey, we don't want you coming into Mexico just to get over to the United States. Obviously, Mexico has supported illegal immigration in the past when the illegal immigrants are Mexicans coming to the United States. Obviously, they've done that. Their rationale has always been, hey, you need the workers, and they're working up there, and of course, they're sending money back to Mexico. So in that sense, Mexico has always been, you know, they've been willing to play along with the illegal immigration as long as the illegal immigrants were Mexicans coming to the United States. This is totally different. This is Central Americans going into Mexico with the objective of coming to the United States, and they're creating a real problem there in the city of Tijuana. Now, of course, all of this is further compounded by the very tough position that President Trump has taken, and I think, by the way, correct position. I don't think you can allow people to walk into your country like that, you know, without at least having some idea of who they are and so on. So here on one side, you have President Trump taking a very tough posture, and I'm sure he means it. And then you have the government of Mexico under attack by some of its own citizens, and especially the mayor of Tijuana, who's saying, hey, what are we doing? What are you doing here? You're letting all these people into my city. I have no way of paying for them. We don't have the resources to pay for this. In fact, I heard a very interesting interview with a lady from Tijuana. She's a Mexican-American who I guess has grown up on the border, and she's a U.S. citizen, you know, but lives in Tijuana much of the time, I guess, for family reasons or whatever it may be. It's not important. And she was talking about this problem, and what she said, and I'll just kind of paraphrase what she said. She said, look, we spent a long time cleaning up the image of Tijuana. We spent a long time turning this city around, making this city prosperous, making this city functional and clean. And now you got this problem. You got these people dropping in, and they're, you know, they're messing up our parks, they're messing up our public places. So I think Mexico really dropped the ball here. I really do. And now, you know, I talked to some of my Mexican friends. Many of them are dumbfounded. They don't understand what happened. They're sitting there saying, what happened? Why did Mexico allow this? Well, you know, there's obviously theories as to why it happened. You know, with Mexicans, there's always conspiracy theories. That's something that we've all grown accustomed to. There's two theories basically going on at the moment. Theory number one is that this is just pure incompetence on the part of the incumbent president, that he simply, it just, the problem just got away from him, that it just, you know, he didn't know how to fix it. That's one theory. And there's, I think there's some truth to that. Look, they had these people down at that bridge on the border with Guatemala and just let them into the country. So I think there is some logical explanation, or at least, you know, I can understand that theory. The other theory that is going around, this is the more the conspiracy one. What they're saying is that, look, this is an attempt by the incumbent president, Peña Nieto, who leaves office in 2 weeks. He'll be gone December 1st. You know, he's history. December 1st. So we're talking 8 days, 7 days. And then the new president coming in has this huge problem right on his lap. I mean, right on his lap. He's got to deal with this, crisis an economic crisis, political crisis, and so on and so on. So I don't know who's right about this, but I do know a lot of my Mexican friends are just startled. You know, they're saying, what are we doing? Why have we allowed this caravan to come here and come into our country in this fashion? It's interesting because all of this is happening in the context of some remarks by Mrs. Clinton, Hillary Clinton. I don't know where she was, but she answered a question about Europe and their political problems. And she basically told the European leaders, well, you're going to have to clean up this immigration mess, because all this immigration mess is doing is giving rise, and this is true, by the way, giving rise to a bunch of right-wing governments. Now, she calls them right-wing governments. I'm not sure that's completely correct. But there's no question that there are a lot of populist governments arising in Europe, or movements simply saying, hey, you know, Europe is for Europeans. We cannot handle everybody else in the planet. So that is correct. Of course, the other thing going on is the new Democratic Congress coming in, or House coming in January, and President Trump and his threats of shutting down the government. So this is going to get very interesting. Very interesting, but there's no doubt in my mind that Mexico has created this problem, and Mexico really owns the problem right now, especially if the Trump administration goes through with their policy of forcing these caravan people to wait in Mexico for their court date. In other words, they can apply. They can apply in Mexico for coming to the United States, but they're going to have to wait south of the border for them to come in formally into the United States. It's a fascinating situation. I mean, I don't know exactly where it's going to go. It's changing constantly. But, man, has Mexico dropped the ball here. They really have. This is a real self-inflicted wound by the Mexican government. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from Carlos, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guerin Harpy. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sisiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sisiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlos right under the show description. If you see there Carlos Guedes' name, schedule, you can click on that. It'll tell you where he's at around town this week. And we also have a link to my friend Duke Machado, who's a car dealer here in Texas. If you're looking for a car, click on that and give Duke a call. Well, the Cowboys had a great Thanksgiving Day. They always make our Thanksgiving Day a little bit better when they win. They're in first place right now, so congratulations to the Cowboys. And it was 55 years ago on November 22nd, Thanksgiving Day this year, that President Kennedy was assassinated here in Dallas. And of course, what is becoming more and more obvious now is that time is catching up with this assassination. What I mean by that is 55 years is half a century. I mean, probably half of the country wasn't even born or doesn't remember. So the people who were emotionally impacted by this, meaning the if you were, let's say, 15 or older, and you remember this back then, well, in your 70s now. So people in their 70s and 80s or older may have a connection to this date, but more and more people are just looking at this like, okay, it's another anniversary. And just to put 55 years in perspective, just to put that timeline in perspective, 55 years after Lincoln's assassination was 1915. Think about that, 1865 to 1915. That's 55 years. Think of how much the country changed during that time. Well, think of how much the country has changed since 1963 to the moment. So I think, again, I'm not saying that people have forgotten about this, but I think the number of people who have an emotional connection to it is less and less and less. And clearly for most people, this is now turning more into, really turning into more of a simply a historical moment. And that's all there is. Well, a couple of other issues. I mentioned that El Chapo is in trial up in New York. I have a post about this at the American Thinker Friday morning. And I think what is really, really happening is, look, he's going to spend the rest of his life in jail. I mean, the case against him is so tight, so strong, that it, to me right now, it's just a question of how much more, I mean, how long is he going to be in jail? I mean, he's going to be there for the rest of his life. That's pretty much the way it's going to be. And he's going to be sitting probably in New York for the rest of his life. So I don't know. I don't know if he'll be taken to another place. I doubt it. But he'll be somewhere in a maximum security prison in the United States for the rest of his life. But it, what's coming out in his trial is that his lawyer, El Chapo's lawyer, is pointing out that many of the politicians in Mexico were paid bribes by El Chapo. In fact, he's talking about the number two man to the incoming president, López Obrador. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. My experience is that many people in Mexico do pay bribes to public officials. A lot of times they pay bribes for a simple reason, and that is just to get stuff done. Because if you don't grease the wheel, as they say, you don't get anything done out of your government agencies. So very often that's what you have to do. So if you're a big company or whatever, and you want to get something done, you need a project approved or whatever it may be, you pay a bribe. And that's how it is. Now, so we don't know if the money went directly to the president of Mexico or the president-elect or one of his subordinates. But whatever the case, this could be an embarrassing story, to say the least, for some Mexican politicians. As I write in my American Thinker post, look, El Chapo is sitting up in New York. His beautiful trophy wife is down in Mexico City, and she's a very good-looking woman, to say the least. And he's not going to spend the rest of his life sitting in a jail away from all his wealth and away from that pretty trophy wife without bringing some people down. And I think that's what we're seeing. I think they're going to put out a lot of information about a lot of people. Some of it will be damaging. Other information won't be. But the bottom line is they're going to be talking a great deal about what El Chapo did in Mexico. And it's probably going to get embarrassing. It's probably going to get embarrassing for some public figures down in Mexico. Well, there's a big controversy, this little spat, if you will, between the Chief Justice and President Trump. It has to do, President Trump made a statement that these Obama judges are holding up his governing. He's exactly right about that, by the way. He is 100% correct about that. I think that, you know, every time he does something, you got these groups who run to these judges. They know ahead of time what opinion they're going to get. So they pick their judges, and then these judges tie up the president until it goes up to the next level where the president wins. We saw that with the travel ban, and I'm pretty confident we'll see it with this one too, because the president here is acting as commander-in-chief. He's saying, look, I'm worried about the security of the nation. This is a matter of national security. Historically, the courts have given the president latitude in those areas. I'm not saying he's going to win this one because I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if he does up the ladder. But I think the more important point that the president was making is, look, we got to cut this out, that every time that President Trump governs, you know, they run to a judge hoping to not necessarily stop it, but delay it and put a brake on it, which is, I think, completely unfair. That's not what their job is. You know, all these federal judges are not national security people. They don't know what's going on. So I think the president is right on this one, and I hope these judges come to their senses. Well, thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you the next time. Bye-bye, everybody.